Welcome to New Site Insight. Today's message is brought to you by Paul Humberstone, Senior Elder at New Site International, based in Cardiff in South Wales. This podcast is entitled Using Your Key, a look from Deuteronomy 30 at unlocking our realities through the power of speaking out and confessing truth. We hope you enjoy it.
Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here we have no form. We have emptiness. We have darkness. We have the Holy Spirit. But nothing happened. Nothing happened until God said, let there be. In verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So here we have the Holy Spirit moving over a mess, over a void, over darkness. And the question, how did it change, is answered, and it's answered by God speaking. It changed when God spoke. The Holy Spirit never brought life, never brought restoration until God spoke. So God could have breathed it. He could have winked it. He could have even spit on it. And it would still have happened. But God's decision was to speak. It says God spoke. So how does that apply to us today? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. What are we to do? Imitate God. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 63. He said, it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. When Jesus spoke the word, he was speaking the Spirit in that word, and that produced life. In John 12, verse 49 to 50, Jesus said this, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So Jesus is saying here, I hear the Father talk, and I talk after him. I'm speaking what the Father is speaking. And as we read the Bible, as you read through and you look at people such as Noah or Abraham or Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so on, you look at their lives, you find that they all said what God said. In other words, they were a mouthpiece of God in the earth, in their time and in their season. And we have to realize that is in operation today, and that when God speaks, there is spiritual force in the words. Spiritual force. And if we can believe them and speak them, the same force will come out of our mouth. Why? Because no word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. Words actually charge, they activate, and they energize the frequencies of the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, since we have the same Spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now note here it says, we have the same Spirit of faith. Therefore, I believe, and therefore I speak. In other words, don't just believe, speak. If you are a believer, confess it. If you believe, you must speak. If you believe it, you have to talk it. I believe, and therefore I speak. There was a man called Zacharias who did not believe. Because he did not believe, God shut his mouth. If Zacharias had opened his mouth, he would have ruined the whole plan. Let's read it from Luke chapter 1, verse 13. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." So this tells me he was a good man of prayer, because the verse says, "Your prayer is heard." But it is not enough just to pray. Not enough just to pray.
3, 2, 1.
The angel goes on to tell Zacharias some of the great things John will do when he's grown up. And then Zacharias asks a question in Luke 1:18. He says, "How should I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." And in verse 20, the angel says to him, "But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So here's the problem. He said, "How will I know it?" If he talked negative, he would have ruined God's plan. Why? Because you can be snared with the words of your mouth. Your words can dominate you. Your words can limit what God wants to do. The people of Israel limited God with their words. They said, "No, we can't do it. Or not this. Or not that." And God didn't do it. We think of the spies. 2 say, "Yes." 10 say no, and the whole camp listen to the negative, and nearly all of them die in the wilderness. In Romans 3, verse 27, it says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith." So faith is a law, and it's at work in heaven. It's at work on the earth. Whether I believe it or not, that law works. The law of gravity works. The law of faith works. Faith works because it is a spiritual force. It comes into action when you speak it. I know the law of gravity works. I don't want to try it out. I don't want to just walk off the top of a building. I don't want to do that. I know the law of faith works. I've seen it work. I've been involved in it as it works. So let's read Mark 4, verse 26 to 29. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So if you're listening to this tape now, with me, I want you to say the following words. Say them after me. Say this: every time I confess the word, I sow a seed. The seed works underground. I don't know how. I'll sleep, I'll wake, and it's working. And suddenly, one day, the fruit comes, and immediately, I will reap. Let's say that again. Say it after me. Every time I confess the word, I sow a seed. The seed works underground. I don't know how. I'll sleep, I'll wake, and it's working. And suddenly, one day, the fruit comes, and immediately, I will reap. And why will you reap? Because the spoken word works, because it energizes the seed. So Romans 10, verse 9 to 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart you believe, with the mouth you confess. You confess to what? You confess to peace, to prosperity, to deliverance, to healing, to abundance. The word salvation, or sozo, S-O-Z-O, it means complete salvation of spirit, soul, and body. Matthew 17, verse 20. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So my question is, does he mean this or not? Mark 11, verse 23. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So with faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. But we must eliminate doubt. And how do we eliminate doubt? We do it when we sow, and we sow, and we sow, and we sow, and we sow the seed. The way you increase faith is with the seed. The more you confess, the more you sow. The more you sow, the more you change your doubt into faith. The more you do that. So this is becoming a confessor of what God says. It is speaking your true identity in God. It is speaking what God tells you that you are. When God said that you are the head and not the tail, what's he saying? He's saying that you are the best. He said you were a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In other words, he said, you're the best. That is what he said. So my question to you is, who do you agree with? God or you? God or the devil? God or circumstances? What do you agree with? Do you repeat what God says? Do you repeat that? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, this is what it says. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Let me repeat that. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. So let's say this together. Say this with me. Say, God watches over his word. God will never allow his word to return void. When God speaks it, it will come to pass. And God will wait for a mouth to repeat it. It shall not return void. Did you say that with me? Because that is the truth. Hebrews 3, verse 1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Why does Jesus need to be a high priest? The high priest in the old covenant always repeated what God had promised. A high priest took the word to remind God what he had said, and to remind God of what he had promised. And it says here that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. This means that what you confess, he also confesses. So the Father looks and the Father says, Paul has confessed my word. And Jesus has assured me he did it. Holy Spirit, take the word out of his lips and make it substance. Now, as you listen to this, you could say this and put your name right at the start. Whoever you are, whatever name you have, has confessed my word. And Jesus has assured me he did it, or she did it. Holy Spirit, take the word out of these lips and make it substance. So let's say this together. Say this. Say, he is the high priest of my confession. As I confess, he confesses before the Father. When the Father hears it, he speaks it. The Holy Spirit hears. The Holy Spirit then gives me the substance. The substance. In Colossians 1 verse 13 says this, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That tells me we have been delivered out of, from the power of darkness, and we've been delivered into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That has already happened. It's past tense. The only thing that prevents us from walking in this all the time is our mentality. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. He's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. But let's always remember, as we say these things, that fear talks and faith talks. Fear, talking in fear, brings bondage, brings defeat. It traps us with words like, well, I can't, or I won't, or, well, what will happen if, whatever. But God's system is, I can do all things through Christ. So let's say this. Say this out loud, wherever you are. Say, I am a new species. I am a new creation. Say that out loud. I am a new creation. You see, if we don't talk kingdom language, we will not have kingdom power and kingdom authority. This is because you are who you say you are. You are controlled and you are ruled by your words. So, right now, we're in the time, we're in the season for us to stand in a world of darkness as free people of light by speaking who God says we are. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27. It says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and he will say, destroy. So understand this. It says, underneath are the everlasting arms. Understand, his arms are not underneath you to rock you to sleep. His hands are not your mattress, but they are behind you to back you up when you face the enemy.
3, 2, 1.
It's like this. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Father is around you. Jesus is before you. And goodness and mercy follow you. I mean, I think you should tell someone that today, whoever you are. Tell someone, the Holy Spirit's in you. The Father is around you, Jesus is before you, and goodness and mercy follow you. Okay, well, we've come so far in this teach. Now we're going to go for the key. Now we're going to start to look at the key. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 9 to 10. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 and 10. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. In other words, if you hear and if you obey. Now there's one key that will get you into this, which I call these verses, a land of plenty, a land of prosperity, a land of fruitfulness, a land of increase. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, "For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." So the key you need is not too far away from you. It's not hidden. In verse 12 of Deuteronomy 30, it says it's not in heaven. So in other words, it's not beyond your reach. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 13, it says, "Nor is it beyond the sea." So the key is not in some country that is far away from where you are. But Deuteronomy 30, verse 14 says, "But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. I think sometimes we're so stupid. We say, "Holy Spirit, where's the key? Angels, have you got the key for me? Oh God, I don't experience your blessings in fullness. Where's the key? Lord, you said you gave the key to Peter. Peter, do you have the key?" And God says, "You had it all the time." Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, the word or the key is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. God says the key is in your mouth and the key is in your heart. God says you have all blessings, but you won't talk about them. You won't speak them. You won't confess them. You never spoke and were held back. You never used the key. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." That tells me that life and good are in that key. So say this out loud. Say, "The word of blessing and the word of increase is near me. It is in my mouth." Let's say it again. Say, "The word of blessing and increase is near me. It is in my mouth." So from Deuteronomy 30, verse 17, let's read this verse, verse 17. "If your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish." So what have we seen? The key releases the blessing of God on you and through you. But if you don't use it, bondage can come upon your life. God is saying, "Wake up." God is saying, "Arise and shine." And God is saying, "Use your key." So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, this is what Jesus said. He said, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And we know what Jesus was saying. He's saying, upon this rock of being able to hear what the Father is saying, I will build my church. And then he says, "Peter, I've given you the keys of the kingdom." The keys. Your keys are every prophetic word you have. Your keys are every revelation you have received. Your key is every word of God that is in your heart. And we know what Jesus is saying here. Upon this rock of being able to hear what the Father is saying, I will build my church. So those keys could well be in a prophetic word, as I've said. They could be very much in a word of God and a word of revelation you have received. But I would also say this, they might still be on your keyring. And we don't want them to stay on our keyring. Every time we receive a prophetic word, we add a key to our ring. Every time we receive a revelation, we add a key to our ring, a key to the kingdom, a key to our destiny. Maybe as you go through this teaching right now, a key is being added to your key ring, a key to your destiny. And with this key, the key of words, you can build, you can plant, you can pull down every opposition to its fulfillment. But you will only do it if you use the keys. In Malachi 3 verse 16, it says, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. When you confess the word, God says, angels, bring the pen, write it down, store it away. I do wonder whether they still write or whether they use laptops. I'm still wondering on that, but that may be for another day. But angels, he says, just write it down, put it down, store it away when you confess. God records the words of his children when their words are in alignment with his words. When they are in alignment with his words. So, let's go into 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1 to 2. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And in verse 3, all the children of Israel bowed and said, he is good. His mercy endures forever. They spoke out the truth. He is good. His mercy endures forever. What's the key? They were saying. They said. They used their key. Job 22, verse 28. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. We must understand, when we don't confess, there's darkness. When we do confess, God turns the light on. And that light shines on our ways. It shines on our paths. That's why Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. And we use those verses a lot, but how are they activated? How is Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2 activated? Arise, shine, for your light has come. Maybe it'd be time to stop and question this. Well, how do those verses get activated? How can I arise? How can I shine? Though deep darkness is on the people, what about the Lord arising over me? What's the key? What's the key to these verses? And to find that, you have to go to the last verse of the previous chapter. Isaiah 59, verse 21. And I call this the arise and shine key. The arise and shine key. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, my words which I've put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. That tells me God has commanded me to have his word in my mouth. And when the word of God is in your mouth, you will arise and shine, and the glory of the Lord will come upon you. That is the anointing. The glory of the Lord coming on you, that is the anointing, because God will confirm his word. But it does mean this: we must use the key. We must use the key. Let's use the key right now. Let's use it right now. I'm going to speak some sentences. I'll leave a short gap at the end of each one when you repeat the sentence. Let's say this together, out loud. Say this: I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am delivered from the power of darkness. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am a priest. I am a king. I am a child of the great I am. This is my time to press in and push through. I want no word of my limitation or lack or deficiency in my mouth. I am not lacking because he is full. I am not weak because he is strong. I'm not deficient because he is sufficient. I'm not little because God is great and strong. He is the one. So I point my spiritual eyes forward and focus on my source. I focus on my King, on my Lord, on my Definer, on my identity. I look toward Christ, and as I do, I'm being transformed into that same image. I give him my agreement, my humility, my desire, my words. I give him the key of my mouth with my obedience. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. He keeps his covenant and his mercy. And I say this: my God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. I say this today: my God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Amen.
Wow. I just think there's so much in that teaching that just things that maybe we even forget about, isn't it? The whole idea that if you just speak something out, it changes what happens to that word. Yeah. That's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. But then I think in one sense, it's supposed to be mind-blowing.
Right.
Because that's the very thing we want. We want our minds blown.
Yeah.
And we want the spirit to rise up to its rightful place.
Yeah.
And that, much of it, will come about by confessing and speaking the word.
Mm, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I love the whole idea too, from your teaching, that, you know, even the prophecies that we've had maybe over the years, or things that God's whispered into our hearts. Mm-hmm. But if we can just get that into a place where that is spoken out, I mean, that really sort of convicted me and poked me today, because what that made me even consider is, have I ever actually spoken those things out? Mm-hmm. Have those things actually ever been said out of my mouth? And you know what? For some of those things, I don't think so. They've been consumed in my mind or in my heart or in my silent prayers. But have I actually ever opened my mouth and let them out? I don't think so.
But then I guess as well, it's as much with negative things as it is with the positive things. Mm. Where if we're speaking out negative things, then that's what we're confessing as a negative.
Mm.
Whereas when we confess the positive or what God has told us, then we're increasing our spirit, and that's really what we want to do.
Right.
Yes. I agree. That's exactly what we want to do. But it's like we probably, all had probably prophetic words at one time or another. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time we write those down, we put those down. Yeah. We'll be told to write it down, write the vision and put it down. But I think this teaching takes us a step further and says, okay, you've written it down, now speak it out.
Yes.
Now confess it and speak out the word of God. Remembering, when we speak it, it does not come back void.
Right.
It will accomplish.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. I just also think back over my own life about the number of times you do speak out things. It's like almost like the power of agreement, isn't it?
Yes.
That you're kind of agreeing with God, agreeing with your brothers and sisters that, yes, we're in this, God's going to do it. And it's just seems a little bit more official somehow, doesn't it, when you speak it out? Because it's out there then, and it's not hidden in your heart, so that if it doesn't happen, nobody will know. But when you speak it out, then it's kind of feels legal in one sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I just love the way that you taught that and explained that today, is that that's really sort of excited me today about going back over words that maybe haven't even been birthed yet or sparked simply because they've been, you're right, in a notebook or in my mind or in my heart, but never actually been put out there so that they can be activated.
Wow. Yeah. And then when we put those things out there, they become accountable then.
Right.
They can be judged. They can be corrected. They can be even challenged on it sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's just really up to us to put it out there first. And then that kind of puts it into the arena.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good just to speak it out, maybe to others.
Right.
But the main thing is you speak it out, whether you're out in the middle of a field on your own.
Yes. Right.
You speak it out. And that's what you do.
Yeah.
Who are you speaking to? You're speaking to the air in one sense.
Yeah.
But in another sense, no, you're not. Mm. You're speaking to a whole dimension that you cannot see, but who are probably listening.
Yes.
Right. When you're speaking out, maybe to darkness.
Yeah.
You're saying, I am light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking into and speaking into negativity in some areas, and you're saying, I'm positive.
Right. Mm.
And so you are speaking that. Whether anyone hears it in the natural or not, doesn't matter too much.
No.
But you are obeying God's word by speaking.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you know what comes to mind as you were just saying that? It's almost like you're setting people straight. Mm-hmm. You're setting it straight. Mm-hmm. That, you know, maybe circumstances are going one way. Maybe disbelief or doubt is guiding you into another way. Maybe disbelief even, where maybe you don't fully believe the things that have been spoken. But it's almost like when you speak it out, it's like you're just setting it all straight.
Yeah.
Actually, this is what's happening. Actually, this is the truth.
Yeah.
And I just love that idea that even in your own, like going for a walk or in your own space, that you just want to let the heavens know, the depths of the earth know, and the flesh know.
Yes.
Actually, what is true.
Yeah.
And actually, what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And we all kind of crave that clarity, don't we, to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that so much.
The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think when we speak, when we confess, it has to be out of the abundance of the heart, not out of the abundance of the head.
Right. Mm. Oh, yes.
Or out of the abundance of the brain or out of the abundance of the mind. It cannot be out of that.
Yeah.
It has to be out of our heart. So that means we have to have God's word in our heart.
Yeah.
If it's God's word that's alive in our heart, we speak it forth and we activate that word by confessing.
Yeah. And, you know, like you just said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So whatever is within us has to be voiced.
Yeah.
And we do that, don't we, so negatively, so easily. It's funny, isn't it, just thinking about this, how negativity just flows out of our mouth without any sort of lack of bravery or lack of consideration. We just go for it, don't we, when we're negative. But, you know, maybe we're not so forthcoming when it comes to the absolute truth that needs to be put out there.
Yeah,
yeah, something to consider there, isn't
it? It's how we walk and how we confess. I mean, I'm thinking of this podcast. When I came to do that, I was full of confession, full of truth, and full of everything. You know, this, I can do this.
Yes.
Yeah. I've never done a podcast before.
No, you've been great.
But I know. But I can confess I can do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I can go beyond this.
Yes.
Into the next technical arena.
Oh, my
whatever
word.
That may be.
Oh. Okay. I am actually a bit scared that you put that out there now.
But I tell you what, let's get back to the word itself.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's say this after me. Say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus.
I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
I am delivered from the power of darkness.
I am delivered from the power of darkness.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
I am a priest.
I am a priest.
I am a king.
I am a king.
I am a child of the great I am.
I am a child of the great I am.
And we say amen,
amen.
And hallelujah.